London-based Iranian journalist Alireza Nourizadeh agrees with Secretary Clinton's concern about Iran's emerging power structure. Mr. Nourizadeh, who directs the Center for Arab and Iranian Studies, says since President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad took office, Iran has been moving steadily toward a military dictatorship.
Half of the ministers were either directly coming from Revolutionary Guards or they had some connection with the Revolutionary Guards intelligence unit. 90 members of Iranian parliament are generals, colonels, ex-general of Revolutionary Guards. In the political arena, most of the big job is held by the Revolutionary Guards. They are everywhere, and they have financial support by the government.
But Arab journalist Nadia Bobesi says that view is not widely held in the Arab world. The senior news correspondent with Middle East Broadcasting Center notes that while Arab leaders are alarmed by Iran's nuclear program and by the growing power of the Revolutionary Guards, most people in the Arab world do not view Iran as a military dictatorship.
There is a disconnect here between the government and the people, and the popularity even with the current president Ahmadinejad in Arab streets is medium to high, I will say. People see Iran as a country that supports movement like Hamas and Hezbollah, which is seen as indigenous movements fighting the Israeli occupation in the Palestinian territories and in southern Lebanon. But in general, I think they don't look at it as a military dictatorship.
However, Alireza Nourizadeh warns that Iran's Revolutionary Guards Corps' history of influence in the region is suspect.
We should not forget that the Revolutionary Guards, at least for the past 25 years, were responsible for training certain groups in Arab countries. Look at Yemen. Hundreds of Yemeni Shiites received their training from Revolutionary Guards. In Lebanon, Hezbollah is the main supplier of weapons. And look at Palestine. The Revolutionary Guards became involved in training Hamas. In Iraq, we see how they train hundreds of Shia fighters. In Afghanistan, even now, it's obvious that Revolutionary Guard has got some link with Al-Qaeda and some Al-Qaeda leaders living in Iran.
As Secretary of State Clinton noted, the Revolutionary Guards have become the keeper of Iran's nuclear program. And according to Nadia Bobesi, that makes Iran's nuclear program a serious threat to its Arab neighbors, especially the Gulf states.
I think privately everybody is very worried about Iran's capability of developing nuclear weapons. Nobody believes the intention is to have it for peaceful purposes. Everybody knows that Iran is seeking a role of leadership in the region. Therefore, the ultimate power for them is to have a nuclear one.
But the nature of Iran's current nuclear threat is debatable. Again, Nadia Bobesi.
Many experts, including a UN report that was leaked to the press, said that Iran's capability is very much exaggerated. But then you have Israel, who is trying to do the opposite, actually, which is exaggerate every bit of information that comes from Iran. The bottom line is nobody knows because there is no intelligence on the ground.
Nevertheless, if Iran wants to develop nuclear weapons, as has been the concern of the international community, how should the West deal with Tehran? Mr. Nourizadeh says the most effective way is to encourage Iran's internal opposition.
There is a lively opposition movement going on in Iran, the Green Movement, and I think morally supporting the Green Movement, I think that would be very effective and it will help in the long term to bring about changes in Iran, rapid changes.
But Ms. Bobesi strongly disagrees.
Will be the kiss of death for them, and it will give a pretext for the government in Iran to pinpoint at the interference by the Western power, particularly the United States and Britain.
Both reporters would recommend against the use of a military strike on suspected nuclear targets in Iran. Mr. Nourizadeh says the military option would be counter-effective for the United States, for Iran's neighbors, and the Iranian people. More emphatically, Ms. Bobesi says a military strike against Iran's military facilities could be catastrophic.
They will shy away from any possibility of a military strike against Iran because that will unleash unpredictable consequences that will set the whole region on fire. And everybody knows that. And this is the dilemma for the West. What do they do? The military option is not really an option, and negotiations are not going anywhere.
Both journalists agree that the most effective way to influence Iran's leadership is through the use of targeted economic sanctions. To do that, they recommend nonstop lobbying for China's support in the UN Security Council. But thus far, Beijing has resisted more stringent sanctions and continues to urge further negotiations to resolve the international standoff. For International Press Club, I'm Judith Latham.